Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. At the beginning of the animated film, The Bee Movie, we hear the narrator say this: according to all known laws of aviation, there is no way that a bee should be able to fly. Its wings are too small to get its fat little body off the ground. The bee, of course, flies anyways, because bees don't care what humans think is impossible. You may have heard this myth about bees previously also, but it is just that, a myth. It dates back to the 1930s with French entomologist Antoine Magnan, who noted that because of bees' relative body mass and wing size and the haphazard way they use their wings, they shouldn't be able to fly. And if bees were planes, that might be true. But in more modern studies of bees, it has been discovered that bees do not, in fact, defy any of the laws of physics or gravity to fly. They simply use their wings in a different way than was originally conjectured, but exactly the way that God designed them to be used. But there is one part of the bee movie opening statement that is true. Bees don't care what humans think is impossible. And as we are going to discuss in our message this morning, neither does God. The text for our meditation from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 states, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong, so that no one may boast before him." One can certainly see the truth of Paul's words throughout the history of God's people, both in the Old Testament and in the Gospels also. But it's nice to have Paul clearly define to us also that this is indeed how God works in us and among us as his people. He didn't come to the aid of Abraham's wife, Sarah, until after she was past her age of childbearing to give this formerly barren woman a child. He didn't help Elijah as he fled for his life from the evil Queen Jezebel until after Elijah had collapsed in the desert and prayed to God that he might die. He didn't protect Daniel from the edict of the king until after he was thrown into the den of lions. He didn't allow Samson to perform his greatest act of strength until after his hair, the conduit of God's strength in him, until his hair was cut and his eyes were gouged out. And he didn't come to see Lazarus and to cure him from his illness until after his illness had already taken his life and he was in a tomb dead. You see, the foolishness of God, it's a weight until every other act of human wisdom and strength has been exhausted, so that we must rely fully and only on God. So that when help does come, we know that the help is from Him. God doesn't care what humans think is impossible. His greatness is not limited by our smallness. God does what He wills, when He wills, wherever and to whomever He wills, regardless of what the laws of physics and nature say is impossible. He is not bound by man's wisdom, nor is He understood by man's wisdom, which is good, because man's wisdom always leads away from God. Man's wisdom led Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Man's wisdom led the early people of this world to build that Tower of Babel, trying to make a name for themselves. Man's wisdom has led people to believe that some races are superior to other races. Man's wisdom led the builders of the Titanic to say they had built a ship so big and so strong that not even God could sink it. Man's wisdom has led millions and millions of babies to be killed within their mother's wombs. Man's wisdom has led to the notion that gender is a choice, and that it can actually be changed. And finally, man's wisdom thought that because the Son of God did not fit neatly into the people's preconceived ideas of what the Messiah should be and should do, that He should be killed like a common criminal. Man's wisdom has never shown itself to be something trustworthy enough to build one's life upon. But God's foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom, and it has proven itself to be trustworthy. And thus we live and we preach Christ crucified. You know, it makes no sense to die for one's enemies, or that eternal life should be achieved through temporal death, or that God's power can best be made known and shown through man's weakness. And yet all of those things are true. Jesus died for us while we were still sinners, while we were His enemies. And He achieved eternal life for us through His temporal death on the cross. And it's when we are at our weakest, when we've reached the end of our rope, when we are powerless to help ourselves, that God steps in and fills us with His strength, so that we will know that our strength comes from Him, so that we will learn to rely on and trust in Him and in only in Him, and not in ourselves. The world, in the wisdom of man, looks at the Christian faith as foolishness. They call our teachings antiquated and judgmental, our hope foolish and immature, and our commitment useless and misguided. But the wisdom of man also thinks that we descended and evolved from monkeys. What does that tell you about the wisdom of man? And so we continue to preach and to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and who rose. We are forgiven and we are saved because of him. And we continue to believe and hope and trust that he can do anything in our lives, regardless of how impossible man's wisdom has declared that thing to be. He can cure the illness, save the marriage, or change the mind. Now, if the world sees that as foolishness, so be it. For it's by that foolishness that God has redeemed us. May we thus always live like bees and like God also. Not really caring what people think is impossible or logical or prudent or wise, but always and only by the foolishness and the weakness of God. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.